One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. It's another Wednesday, and we're doing it over here at your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler. You can find me on all social media at Ryan Sickler. My website is RyanSickler.com. As I tell you every week, my new album, Get a Hold of Yourself, is available now. iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon, Google, you know, all that shit. Spotify. Make the Spotify channels, guys. It helps big time. Check it out. You can stream it on Sirius also out there. And if you're using iTunes, throw up that 5-star review. Phoenix, House of Comedy, April 4th through the 6th. I'm coming to see you, Phoenix. Vegas, I'll be there on the 26th and 27th of April. I'm doing some June shows in Richmond, Maryland, and Atlantic City with Tommy Segura. And August 1st through the 3rd, I'll be at the House of Comedy in Minnesota. I will let you know the Edmonton dates. I think it's in May. I just got to finalize that. And again, doers, I just want to say thank you for all the positive feedback. Make sure you're subscribed. Tell everybody. Download. Rate. Review. All that stuff. It helps big time. And as I said before, we'll be setting up the Crab Feast on its own feed here very shortly. The website for The Honeydew, thehoneydewpodcast.com, where you can get all the info that you need. You know, you can email me at honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. And Facebook is The Honeydew Podcast, Twitter at Honeydew Pod. And if you're new to the show, welcome. If you don't know what we're doing over here, we're laughing in the face of adversity, having some fun with the not-so-fun times. And this guest here is a good damn time. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Chad Zumach.
Yes, Sickler, I'm a fan. You know that.
I know, and I appreciate you being here, and thank you for coming on today.
No, I wanted to come on. I was excited. You know, it's when you, I know you and Jay are tight still.
Oh, yeah.
And I see you guys together, hug each other and shit, but sometimes it's just like, kiss. It's almost though, it's like Richie, Fonzie, and Potsy left Happy Days. You know, it was like that one dude. Who's the one dude who came in the sitcoms?
Yeah. Big Al's still in the back, though.
Big Al's kicking
Mr. it. Miyagi even left fucking
Yeah, Pat Morita's out.
He's out of there. They're all out.
Ralph Malf's gone. Tom Most is gone.
Tom Most is gone. Will you turn me down a little bit, actually?
Yeah, yeah, but you got a different vibe, though. I like the vibe, though.
You like this?
Yeah, I
like
yeah.
Oh, you're perfect for this. I was saying to you off mic, like, you know, if you haven't heard Chad's episode of the Crafties, you got to go listen to that. That Hall & Oates shit. I mean, God, we had so much fun on that.
Do people still come up to me about that? That was like 2 years ago?
That's the Feasters of the shit.
They still come up to me. It's not, no joke.
So if you haven't heard that episode, you should definitely check that out. And let's get into, why don't you just promote whatever you want, because I know you're ready to go. We can get right into why you're perfect for The Honeydew.
No, it's cool, man. You got, you know, everyone's got dates. You could follow me. Follow my Instagram, because people were telling me about Instagram when I thought it was going to be whack. I thought it was going to be like Vine. I'm like, that's not going to work. So I was promoting my Twitter. I was promoting everything but Instagram. So now I put all the dates on the Instagram, Chad Zumach, if you can hit me up there, because for the longest time, I thought that was just going to go out of style, and I look like a fucking idiot because it's the number one social media platform of all time.
Of all.
I know. Time.
Now it's like, nah, man, these zebra pants are going to be around for a while. You'll see. You'll see. No, not parachute pants, zebra pants.
Dude, I called the wrong shit. So, I really did thought it was going to go out of style. When Vine went down, I was like, fuck you. I told you.
Nah, you'll see. Mustangs will be gone 2-3 years. You'll see. You'll see. Always calling the wrong shot.
I bought a DeLorean. No, so, yeah, hit me up on Instagram, and I got a YouTube page called Adventures in Argyle, and I got an album. It's not number one like Ryan Sickler's album. but I was number five.
That's, I mean, come on. That's
come
all
on, dog.
Let's be very proud of that.
So, yeah, it's called A White Guy Named Chad. It's on iTunes everywhere. And you could create your own channel like your album.
That's right. It helps. Yeah. So, but you're also on your podcast. You're new on, well, newish.
Yeah. No, I got my own podcast called Sit Down Zumach. I'd love to get you on. And I got the legendary old G's of podcasting, Punch Drunk, which I came on.
Yeah.
And it's cool because it's almost like a new life to the whole thing. And we were talking earlier before this. Like, I feel like I'm like Sammy Hagar. I'm Punch Drunk. I got some hits.
Well, we love all those dudes over there.
So, no, it's Punch Drunk, and that's been good to me. I'm getting people coming up to me from that. So, that's all. Hit them up, and it's not. I appreciate it.
Man. Well, these doers are going to be lighting your ass up after these stories, I imagine. Sure. So, some people come on and tell, you know, a story about growing up without a dad. Some people have told most embarrassing moment after moment after moment. Other people have gotten into fucked up childhoods, cool. Myself included.
You read my Wikipedia.
So we're just going to start linear with you, and we'll dial it back to childhood.
Yeah, I grew up without a dad.
Oh, you did?
I didn't know my dad. My dad left me.
How old?
Before I was born.
Oh, really?
Because I'm out. I'm peace. And I grew up with my mom. In
Cleveland?
I grew up 45 minutes outside of Cleveland till age five. Was in a town called Streetsboro, Ohio. Shout out, Borough Campus High School. It was campus. What do we call it? First grade? What's first grade?
It's the beginning of elementary
school.
I mean, kindergarten, really.
And then I moved to Kent. But that was I grew up in that with just my mom and my grandparents. Because I knew my grandparents. It was my grandparents and me. We're living a home.
Are these your mom's family?
Yes. Okay. The Zumachs. Ben and Helen. Shout out. Rest in peace. And till age five. And that's when the honeydew began.
At five?
Four. When I saw my grandpa die in front of my eyes.
You saw it?
Yeah. Because he was my hero. I didn't have a male role model in my life, so he was my dad, everything to me.
Sure.
And I remember, do you remember when you were a kid? Do you distinctively remember like vivid memories? Like, I remember memories when I was three.
I've gone back to four. Very vivid. I walked my mother when she and I talked for a long time one night, and I walked her mentally through every home we ever lived in, the floor layout of it. And I walked her through the one we lived in Houston for just like under a year when my dad got transferred to work down there. And I walked her through the whole house. And I was like, we had these curtains. She's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was four then. So I don't go back to three, but I got four.
Yeah. Well, I was three and a half, four. I don't know. It was in that ballpark. But I distinctively remember sitting on my grandpa's lap watching Hogan's Heroes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was drinking Rolling Rock beer, and I still have these pictures. So he was my hero. And then one day, he came into the kitchen. He got a Rolling Rock. I remember him looking at me, and he fell to the ground. He had a heart attack and died in front of my eyes.
Oh, that's when the honeydew began. Was he watching you? Like, were you by yourself?
I was by myself. A little kid, four years old.
You remember it? You knew?
I could tell you the pain on the wall, the countertop. I could tell you everything. It was so surreal. It was
vivid
and still ingrained in my mind.
So are you like laying next to him? Are you crawling over to him? What do you just?
He falls to the ground. I don't know what to do. I'm crying. And luckily my uncle comes like 15 minutes later and sees my grandpa dead. And he calls the ambulance. I don't know what's going on.
Sure.
I'm a kid. But I remember the whole
thing. That's his son then, right?
Yeah, his son.
Gotcha.
And my step uncle or whatever, my half uncle. So my grandpa dies. I'm like, okay, this is where everything bad happens and my life starts. This is where I become a comic.
Where the portal open right here.
this is my minor league baseball of comedy.
Oh, my God.
All right. I'm like, all right, grandpa's dead. I'm four. Here we go. Then I'm five. My grandma gets cancer.
Mm.
And it's terrible.
By the way, how old was your grandfather when he died?
He was in his 60s. It was the 70s, late 70s, so early 80s. And then grandma gets cancer, and every morning I'd go to visit her. Every morning I'd go see her, just say, hey, how you doing, grandma, whatever. I'm a little kid. It's my grandma. I see the chemo and her losing her hair. Then one morning I come in. This is like 8 months later. She's dead. I find her dead.
You found her.
I found her dead.
She hung. Why are you laughing? You can't get over it.
Which is so fucked up.
That is terrible.
At that point, I'm like, I gotta be a comic.
At this point, if I was your mom, I'd have said, I'm getting the fuck away from this kid. He's bad luck right here. Son of a bitch. Everybody's dying around this kid.
I'm Damien.
Is Chad coming? Chad is not coming.
It's the omen.
Chad's staying the fuck home. Oh, man. So a year later.
Yeah, not even a year.
Was she at home when? Or
yeah, we're taking care of her at home. And then
he said we. Like, what were you doing?
I mean, I was visiting
all her. You were doing was making sure no one was alive.
I was keeping updates on the current Empire Strikes Back movie.
So you find her.
Yeah, so she's dead.
And
I'm
what
like,
happens?
Fuck.
Do you call your mom in or like?
Yeah, I scream, I cry, and then mom comes in, and next thing you know, it's a blur. Funerals.
Sure.
And then I'm a single parent household. I don't have my dad. So my mom.
So it's just you and your mom in the house now?
We're in the house now, and then we have she has stepbrothers, half sisters. No will. We lose the house.
Yeah, I know that story.
You been there?
Yeah.
Okay.
No will, no life insurance.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So after that, I'm like, fuck.
I learned from that. Last year, literally last year, I went and paid a lawyer, and I was like, here's the will. Here's the life insurance. Get all this shit out of the way. Get all the shit I never had.
Oh, good.
Now, I told my daughter already, but I was like, listen.
You got a little one, too.
Yeah, and I'm like, I just want you to know that you got a life insurance policy, but I'm hoping I outlive that motherfucker. Yeah. I'm betting against you on this one. God
and don't
damn.
Do anything weird.
Yeah, don't do any dumb shit.
You'll get that money eventually. Mm-hmm. You don't have to jumpstart.
I hope you don't get it. I hope you never see a penny of that money. For
so
the right reasons.
My mom's struggling. She don't know what to do. And
how old your mom at this point?
Oh, man.
30s?
No, she's
20s?
Yeah, late 30s. Late 30s. Okay. And
single mom, late 30s, five-year-old boy. Parents, her parents just dropped dead in front
actually,
of him.
Actually, early 30s. Let's early take that 30s. Back.
Even younger.
Yeah. And at this point, I don't know what's going on. I'm just a young boy. And she leaves. She puts me with my aunt and uncle. And they take care of me for 3 years. To this day, she goes to Texas. I don't even know what
really?
The fuck she was doing in Texas.
So from like 5 to 8?
5 to 7, because I was first, second, okay. and third in this one high school. But it was a
this
blessing.
Is her brother or sister, aunt, uncle?
It was her brother, and it was a blessing wife. In disguise, because my aunt and uncle, they were great people. I had cousins. I was living on a ranch. I had all this great things. And sure. That's where my imagination took place. I was riding dirt bikes, playing in the sand pit.
Did you see your mom at all during this time?
No.
She never visited. You never went and visited her.
She would send me like gift baskets for Christmas, Easter. I knew she was out there, you know, but I didn't care as a child. Like I had these awesome aunt and uncle and these cousins. So sure.
Do you talk to your mom now? Are you?
I don't. She's dead.
Oh my God.
before the podcast.
You get aggressive with that dead, man.
No,
I feel the pain.
No, before the podcast, Sickler was talking. He's like, dude, I'm excited to do this podcast with you because I just need some laughs. I'm like,
that's so far 0 for 3.
I'm like, Ryan, I don't even know. Because I'm Crafties, I got these fun stories. I'm like, but the honeydew is all about sad, degenerate shit.
Well, that's what this is. So the reason I asked that was because this. I wanted to know if you know for a fact if your mom was in Texas or if your mom, maybe she had a nervous breakdown. Both her parents just died within a year. Your dad's long gone.
Yeah.
Do you know if they have any communication at all? Have you ever met your father or know anything of him?
To this day is a blur.
That son of a bitch lived to be 106.
Yeah.
And nowhere near you.
I met my real dad. I'll get
you did.
To that.
All right.
I'll work up my way to that, but. What she was doing in Texas, no clue.
Okay.
We moved to Kent, Ohio, which is 40 minutes outside of Cleveland, Ohio.
We,
and that's,
the aunt and uncle.
No, me and my mom.
Okay.
When she came back.
She came back.
She came back to rescue me. And Kent, Ohio is like a tree city. It's where Kent State University is, where I went to college. And if you might know Kent State University, it's the song Four Dead in Ohio.
Yeah, I know that.
Tin Soldiers and Nixon sure. coming. Mm-hmm. And it's also... For comedians out there, shout out to Steve Harvey, Arsenio Hall, Tammy Pescatelli, Drew Carey, Ryan Dalton.
All out of Kent
Steve
State?
Byrne, John Caparulo, all out of Kent State University.
Wow.
That was my university, and comedians came out of that place for some reason. So I grew up in school there, and that's when shit was weird. Like, you know, I was trying to figure out my life growing up, and I go to high school. I was always like I was a very small kid. I didn't hit puberty until my senior year, but I played sports. But I got picked on a lot. So
you didn't hit puberty till your senior year?
Well, summer of my junior year.
So was your voice high as shit?
Oh, dog. Yeah. Girls, I was just a
little. Hey, high-pitched Chad!
Yeah, I know. I was high-pitched Chad. Just like.
High-pitched Chad! Yeah. Kill anybody lately?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Oh, man, I pitched Chad's killed three people, you know. You got these deadly, bro.
So, you know, you're trying as a kid.
What, so, hold on, because that's a honeydew of a moment right there.
Here we go.
Can we talk about that?
Direct it.
I mean, I remember in middle school, kids start hitting puberty, and, like, you'd see hair and stuff. And you know, I didn't have any at the time. You're just like, oh, my God. You feel like, you know, it's all so weird. But I could, I mean, till you're a senior. Are you in the showers and stuff at the school, or people? Are you trying to hide?
I would hide. I played team sports. I would wait till everyone went in. I didn't have any puberty going on.
No armpit hair.
Nothing. And junior year, oh man, this was even coming out of my mind for the honeydew, but it's honeydew. I was fucking this girl, Sarah Kramer. Fuck it.
Mark that time code.
No, put it in. Fuck it. It's a true story. Like, we were hanging out, and she had a thing for me. And one night, she's like, I want to hang out with you. And we hung out, and we were making out. First girl I, like, made out, tongue kiss, she started going down on me. And I was not a man. And I just let it go.
Ooh, you shaved. Yeah, I shaved it all for you tonight, girl. That's what I want to run
with.
I got
a blowjob when I was not even through puberty.
Nuh-uh.
And she, like, you know, I didn't finish at all. It just happened. So, but after that, that's when I think that was like.
That jump started.
You got to start growing up, Doug.
That jump started you into puberty. That girl gave you a blowjob and kick-started puberty.
Listen, I think she did.
It's been long enough, man. You're 22 years old, for Christ. You don't have any armpit hair.
And I've never been so excited in my life.
God damn.
Getting blown. Then senior year, I came in swinging. I was playing sports, and I was always the class clown because that was my defense mechanism because I grew up in a weird abusive household. And
abusive?
Yeah, I had a stepfather. My mom married when she was 12. When she was 12, she got married. I was 12, she got married, and then my stepfather was really abusive, like, hit me a lot.
He did.
Oh, man, I'm talking hardcore.
And your mom didn't do anything?
She turned a blind eye. My stepdad was Joe Jackson, and except I didn't get talented from it.
Shoot up!
Or I didn't become a child molester either.
God. And he would beat you, and you would tell your mom?
She would turn a blind eye to it. Like, because he saved us, our family, financially. We're broke. Welfare, government cheese. Like, we were struggling. But my
mom. What
did
he do for a living?
He was like an electrician, but he was like high up on the electrician. He brought home a lot of money.
Did he have other kids?
He did. He had a family that he left for my mom. And my mom, God bless her soul, love her to death. But she, oh, by the way, it's Eddie F's birthday in 15 minutes. This came up on the screen. But no, my mom, God bless her soul, she did her best, and she was just trying to save me financially because we were going through a tough time, and she just didn't know. She was weak-minded at the time.
Was he beating her?
I think so, yeah.
I would say probably, right?
Yeah. So she.
So when did she leave?
She left about a year and a half ago
Lord.
She stayed with him. Because she was very weak-minded. It was very hard, and I don't mean to. I know this is a comedy podcast, but it's a true story. It's like, you know,
it's your
like,
life.
It's my life. So, you know, you deal with this shit. Like, we're all going through stuff. We all have problems, and unfortunately, I went through this situation, and it's sad. But reflecting back on it, it made me who I am today, whether it's good or bad.
I know. I hear you on that.
So,
what about the stepfather? Did you continue to have a relationship with him?
I cut that shit off. I I left home at 17 to move in with my friend my senior year. I have not spoken to this dude since I was 18.
But you would still see your mom and just avoid him?
Yeah, it was very weird and very odd, and including up to my mom's funeral.
Listen, I need my place wired up properly, man. I hate to be asking any favors or anything, and I know you gave me a couple good ass whoops, but is there any way you could throw like 9-10 outlets around my place, man? Just scatter them in some real favorable places.
By the way, I need you to... Because I'm going to tell these stories. Like, I can't... With the craft feast, they're a funny story. I need the Sickler laugh. I need that shit.
There's a lot of people out there that disagree with you.
Because the Sickler laugh is contagious. And I want to... Yeah, so...
So you cut it off. You still maintain a relationship with your mom.
Yeah.
But your senior year, you come in swinging. You're playing sports. That's where we were. I had to sidetrack for the whole puberty thing. Because that's...
Right.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I start coming to my own and becoming a normal person. I go to college at Kent State University, which I described. And I went to college not knowing what I wanted to do, but I knew we were a low-income family. I declared myself independent. I got a lot of financial aid. I got grants. So I was in college just to fucking figure out my life, and it was a whole new world. And that's when I stumbled upon public access TV.
Okay.
And where I bonded with a good friend of ours, the late, great Brody Stevens,
yeah.
He had a public access show in Seattle, and I had one in Kent, Ohio. And it was during the time when SportsCenter was relevant and great with Keith Olbermann, Dan Patrick, Craig Kilborn. Remember that?
I sure do.
And when people would watch that at 11 o'clock, you didn't go on Twitter because you didn't have it. You would have to watch SportsCenter for the highlights. They were Channel 17 on Time Warner. We were Channel 16. So I became like this weird public access icon within my city. Like, I was a public access.
That's high-pitched chat. Yeah. That is high-pitched chat. I went to school with that guy.
I was a star.
He didn't have ball hair until he was 22, man.
So I went from zero to hero.
Yeah. So you became a local little Ohio favorite there on Channel 16?
Sickler, I know you've been on Joe Rogan, you've had the Crab Feast, you had a number one album, but you don't even know what public access superstardom is.
You're right. I did go on a public access show out here. This is probably in the late 90s. A dude had one just like that. He tapped into it early, too, and I was on one. But, yeah, I don't know what that's.
That were people coming up to you like, you from so-and-so?
No, hell no.
There people are like, you from Chad from Last Call? That's where it was. It was like I was getting dinners picked up.
What?
I'm like 22 years old. Like, what the fuck is going on right now? It's crazy. I was getting laid from public access TV.
Come on.
Yeah, dude. Chris D'Elia, if you're listening, I was getting laid from public access TV. Like, that's how hot I was at the time.
Public access.
Yeah, that was like my – to this day, I've done a lot with my life. That was the highlight of my life. Public access TV during when the internet wasn't even a thing. So that's when like my life started going up. I'm like, I got to do comedy for a living. So that's why I got into comedy, because I didn't care about college. College brought me this public access life. And I'm like, this is what I want to do. I want to like be recognized. I want to tell jokes and be silly and come up with ideas.
And did the college have an issue with you doing any of this?
We were on the college station.
That's what I'm saying. Any of the content that you did they have an issue with anything you did?
Well, shout out to TV2. I don't know if they're still a thing, but they gave us full reign from 9 to midnight, Monday
TV2
through
on
Friday.
Channel 16, Time Warner Cable?
There it is.
There it is, bro.
So from 9 to midnight, and by the way, ESPN's at Channel 17. So if you're accidentally trying to find SportsCenter, you would accidentally watch my show. That's why we got so popular, going back to, you know, bring it together.
Well, back here when we first moved out here, it was like, what was that guy? Had to bury or something, had his own show. And he had girls with their tits out and everything. And we're like, how is this legal? We would sit in there, watch the shit out of that.
Really?
Yeah, he was real popular. He was like you there, but with titties.
That's
probably
funny.
The difference.
No, we never were allowed to do titties because we're still on the college circuit.
I had an AM radio show at the college because they wouldn't give me an FM show, and they were probably right to do that. But my AM show was the shit.
What was your college again?
Towson.
Okay.
So, okay.
Did you ever get laid from the AM radio show?
No, bro.
Dude, I got laid from public access TV.
Oh, man.
No, I told my boy Brody Stevens about the story, and like we had the same, like we had this weird thing that inspired us to keep going with our comedy. And so that launched out of college. I graduated with a general studies degree, 7 years.
Are you serious?
I don't even know what it is.
Seven years for the general studies.
Ryan, I don't even know what the fuck it is. I don't even, like, I have it.
You try to be a doctor, right? One more year for you, that's going to be hot doctor, high-pitched
high-pitched I may or may not be qualified to be assistant manager at Hot Topic.
You might only be 12 credits shy of a doctorate, man. You should look in.
That's how much bullshit college is. If you're listening, go to a trade school.
It probably really is bad. If you know what your passion is, because like you said, so many people, I was the same way. I wanted to do psychology, physical therapy. Yeah. You know, I ended up with a Bachelor of Science in Mass Comm because I took human anatomy and physiology and all these classes in community college. Yeah, and when it transferred over, it ended up being science instead of arts. Who the fuck's got a Bachelor of Science in Mass Comm?
I know. And look what you ended up doing. Producing shows, selling shows.
I did actually learn a lot in college. But also technology changed so fast that we actually had a teacher who would make us do reel to reel radio edits.
Yeah.
And we had to cut it with a razor blade and splice it and all this and come in on the weekends to do that because he came from that school and was like, you need to know this technology. And we're like, no, man, there's CDs out, bro. Yeah, we don't need to know this shit. But he forced it on us. And then that was right when the internet was starting, 95, 96. It started getting, and we were on it there. They were like, oh, you can look. And I remember looking up all this Hendrix stuff and just checking out different shit. And then boom.
Yeah.
And all of it is now fucking fitting inside a pen cap.
When we were in public access TV, it was like 99, 98, 2000. And we were doing VHS to VHS edits.
Yeah.
We had two decks, and that's where we're editing our TV show that people were watching throughout the county. So, no, I was in the same boat. And then the internet came. It was a different ball game.
So you developed this popularity. You spend seven hard years in college. You graduate Kent State with a general studies.
Yeah, I'm a Kent State notable alumni.
Are you notable? All
Go
right.
Go to my Wikipedia. I was the grand marshal in the Kent State homecoming parade because Drew Carey canceled. True story. Look it up. You can Google it.
He canceled.
Drew Carey couldn't do it, so they put me as the grand marshal. I had a 2.4 GPA, 7 years, leading the charge
of Kent State.
I got a marching
That's
band.
That's the best we got today. Just today, y'all. This is not indicative of everybody at Kent State, man.
There's a marching band. They got the Cub Scouts throwing out
fucking
candy.
Grand Marshal, this guy.
There's people lined the streets, and here's me, 2.4 general studies. How are you doing? Welcome to Kent State University. Ate it up.
Oh, my God. I had two kids graduated before you did. Yeah, man, that's great, man. I know this guy. That's Chad. That's high-pitched Chad, man.
Hair on his balls 2 years ago.
She might have been there. The girl blew me. She might have said, holy shit, he's the homecoming king or parade guy.
Oh, man. Leading the charge with a 2.4.
I'll show you the photos, dude. It's ridiculous.
Oh,
I cut the ribbon.
Oh, my God.
It was the craziest
2.4. C-.
So we graduate school with my shitty degree, and I was like, "What? I got this general. What am I gonna do? I want to keep doing this public access stuff. It's fun, right?" So we go to Cleveland.
You did all 7 years.
All 7 years. Okay. I graduate. I was like, I want to keep doing this public access TV. So we go to Cleveland Public Access. We're like, we're gonna up the game here.
Next step.
And then that's when creative differences become. I know what bands go through now, like the Beatles. There's a guy in my group.
I love that you're comparing the Beatles to fucking Cleveland Public Access. Now I know how John Lennon feels. Yeah.
The John Lennon of
you should have seen the shit happen to us after we left Channel 16, man. I tell you, we rolled up into Cleveland, all kinds of creative differences.
Somebody get Paul McCartney on the phone. I got to see how he deals with this shit.
We were the Lennon McCartney. And whoever's the leader in that band, fucking Lennon and McCartney were having differences. And I'm like, fuck this. And we start doing a sketch group, and that's not working. I'm like, I want to do stand-up. Fuck this. So I moved to L.A.
So the TV didn't go well?
It wasn't as good as college.
Like, it wasn't.
We weren't getting the feedback. And we start fighting, man, because we had that popularity. We're like, And we start blaming each other, like, what the hell's going on? It's your fault. Why aren't we blowing up? You know, we just kept going. We're like the Chili Peppers. The album got shittier and shittier, with all due respect to Kiedis and Flea. But Frusciante carried that shit. So at this time, I just said, I'm going to do stand-up. I don't want to deal with all this nonsense. And that's why I got into stand-up. I moved to L.A. in 2005.
Solo sport.
In 2005, I moved here for a girl. She dumped me 2 weeks when I was here. 2 weeks.
Damn.
I know, man.
You moved here for her?
Yeah, because we were doing a long distance. She went.
How'd you meet her?
In college. She was younger than I was, and she moved here.
Everybody was.
I know.
I mean, everybody at that motherfucking college. There's professors younger than your ass.
When I was in tenure. When I was in college, I was on AOL Instant Messenger. When I met her, she was on Facebook.
Oh my God.
So we did a 7-month relationship, and to this day I think she's my soulmate, even though she's married with two kids, happily married. She moved here and met somebody, and I moved here in 3 weeks.
Was it that guy?
No, it was somebody else. So I move here and we break up. I'm like, what the fuck am I gonna do? So I go to Hollywood Improv.
How'd she do it?
I got in a big fight with her one night. Like, I was drunk. And by the way, drinking has been a problem for me my whole life.
Is it in the family?
I think you always use drinking as a coping skill from the pain, you know, to deal with my pain. And I think it was always almost my medicine. I wasn't on prescription medication, so I was like, I'll drink and I'm happy. So she broke up with me, and I didn't know what to do. So I go to the Hollywood Improv right there on Sunset, and that was right when Dane was becoming Dane, mm-hmm. MySpace Dane. So I'd sit in the back of the room, watch Dane, I watch Gaffigan, Attell, and I'm like, I'm going to do this. And Rita Piazza, who's still there.
Love Rita Piazza.
Dude, she would feed me meals. She felt bad.
She's the best.
Yeah, and like I was just like, okay, this is my family. So I go to the Ha Ha Cafe, throw down $5, and I go up and do 5 minutes of stand-up. Little did I know, people who were with me was Chris D'Elia, Whitney Cummings, all starting out at the same time. I didn't realize I was even amongst these great comics, but we were just doing our thing, trying to figure out our thing. So all my honeydew craziness led me to stand-up, and that's why I got into stand-up. I don't know where we go from here.
Well, you said you met your real father. Why don't we go to that? So how did that happen and why did that happen?
That's a good, yeah. Look at you. You're a fucking Tom Brokaw.
I pay attention, bro. You say broke off?
Is that what? Yeah, you're the Tom broke off.
That would be me. I'm a piece of Tom broke off.
You're the Ryan Sickler. So I'm at probably about 8 years of my stand-up. I get a gig on the radio back home. Good money. So
back home, Cleveland? Okay.
Cleveland, Ohio. So I go home for some good money.
And is your mom still there at this time? Is she still in Ohio? Or is she
is.
Okay.
She is. And I started opening for Daniel Tosh, who...
Yep, love Tosh.
And we didn't have the best relationship. I don't know why he had me to open for him. Later on, I figured it out. But either way, he was getting popular before Tosh.0 and all that. And a PD saw me open for him at Hilarities and says, I'm open. I want to start this radio show. Would you be interested? I'm like, fuck yeah. I grew up on Stern. I loved Artie Lang. I was like, I'd love to do that shit. So long story boring, I get the gig and I meet my real dad. I was interested in meeting my dad.
You were? Okay.
Because.
How old are you?
Oh, man. At the time, let's see. Early 30s, middle 30s, somewhere around there.
And what was the spark that started getting you like, I really want to meet my dad?
Well, it's just like, my name's Chad Zumach. My middle name's Anthony. I'm half Italian, and nobody would ever know it. I got brown hair, blue eyes.
I'm that same way. Sickler's not Italian, but my mom is full blood. Her parents are, and my dad's family is. It's his father that's that. European mutt. You know?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same shit.
Yeah, sick.
So Zumach is Polish and Czech. That's my mom. My dad's Italian. So I'm like, I want to know a little bit about who I am.
Do you know what his last name was?
I do.
You don't have to say it. If you don't say it.
Yeah, I don't want to give people blow up a spot.
No, no.
But it's super Italian. But I also know
Parmesan!
It's Maggiano.
Maggiano's.
So I'm like, okay, let me figure some shit out. And it was before all this technology, so I looked in the phone book. I figured out his real last name. I call someone, and it's my aunt.
Had you ever met her?
Never.
Never. It's his sister.
I just knew the last name. So I call him. I tell her the story, and she says, oh, my God, this is great. She goes, let me tell you. She goes, this is what we'll do.
Oh, she was all for this.
All for it. Oh, that's great. She was excited.
Yeah. She goes, oh, my God, my nephew is reaching out.
Yes. And she goes, this is what I'll do. Because I told her story. I was like, they didn't know each other. I don't know the real story.
She didn't know him either?
She knew who my mom was. Because they were married for like a month.
Okay.
Which is hilarious.
But was she close to your dad?
By the way, they couldn't keep it together for one month. 1 month, they're like, we're done. We can't do this.
He's like, if I stay, I'm going to die.
So
I got to look out for myself. Yeah.
Dude, we gave it a try, man. I mean, it was good. Like, we did what we had to do. It's a month. Like, let's... So she said, let me reach out to
him. I gave you all I had. I mean, I've really been busting my ass here these 30 days. If I've learned anything, it's that I'm going to be leaving. Okay, well, I appreciate you putting all that hard time and effort into being a husband and a father.
You do hear
I'm just going to move down the street. How close was he?
Well, by the way, before
this I get is the other thing that blows me away is how close in proximity these people stayed to their families.
40 minutes. He lived 40 minutes
away. Everybody saying this, and you just live down the street, and yeah. It's like, ah, fuck you guys. Like, would you move to another state or some shit?
Like, my mom and, like, by the way, when I met my dad, I realized why it didn't work. There are two really strong personalities, and I could sense when they were in love, but when they hated each other, they fucking hated each other, and I get it.
All right, so let's go back. You start wanting to reach out. You look in a phone book. You find your aunt.
Yeah.
She's like, this is fucking awesome. She's going to help you.
So she calls. She goes, "That's what I'll do. Give me your number, your name. Give me your name."
Oh, isn't that crazy?
She goes, "I'll call him and tell him what you just told me. I'll have him call you just in case there's like some weird thing." He calls me the very next day, interested. Like, what the hell's going on? Like, I would love to meet you. I didn't know I had a kid. I'm like,
what?
What exactly? I'm like,
there's only three Parmesans in Cleveland. For Christ. We have to be related.
So I'm like, yeah, let's fucking meet, dude.
So he's all for this.
Yeah. So we
And where are you going to meet?
This place in Twinsburg, Ohio.
What is it?
It's like a bar. I forgot the name of the bar. I remember my aunt worked there for a minute. Cause I was thinking of like work. My grandparents were buried across the street. So I'm like, let's just meet there.
Oh, you picked the spot.
I picked the spot.
Okay.
And we meet and I see my dad for the first time. And as soon as I don't know. You meet your dad that's my fucking dad. You can't.
No doubt.
The visual, the facial structure. He sits down. My knee bounces. I'm looking in a mirror. I'm like, he looks.
He's like, I still haven't hit puberty. You're like, I was late, man.
He has hair. I don't.
It's him, though. You could see you in his face.
I see all of it, man. That's got to be crazy, man. It's just like crazy. And he's taking it in. I'm taking it in. He can't deny it. I can't deny it.
And do you hug? Do you handshake? What's the first thing you guys do? You chest bump?
It's an awkward handshake.
You barking? You're doing a Cleveland dog.
Bro hug. It's like, hey, how are you? It's like, welcome to the team.
This is my kid.
Exactly. It's so weird.
That's heavy.
And we're talking. What
kind of car do you roll up in?
We're making... I didn't see him. I just sat at the bar. I was the first one there.
Oh, he came in.
Yeah. We started making small talk, and then it starts rolling. He's a cool guy, and we're talking, and he goes, you want to grab some food? I'm like, yeah. So we go to another place. I don't remember where we went. It was like a Applebee's, something chain restaurant-oriented, and we break bread, and it's just like, he's a cool guy.
We go to Olive Garden. It's unlimited breadsticks. Break all the bread we motherfucking want.
You know, he's Italian, so we go to the Olive Garden. Take it in. By the way, shout out to Olive Garden. Bread and fucking salad.
Oh, great breadstick.
You get them as a sponsor.
Yeah, I'm sure they're ready to come on board.
Dude, they got to sponsor this shit.
That's Red Band's Olive Garden.
Does he have Olive Garden?
Oh, he had all that shit. Olive Garden butthole and all that stuff. You got to look it up. All
right.
All right, so he's a cool guy. You're having a bite to eat. And what are you asking?
I'm just like.
What do you want to know?
I'm making it small talk. I'm scared.
Like, you haven't asked anything
I'm
yet.
I'm talking to him like. As a comic, if you meet Chappelle, which I have, it's just superficial bullshit. It's like, I don't want to get deep. Like, I just want to, like, build a bond and hopefully...
You don't ask at least, like, you didn't know about me? Or do you call him out on that?
I'm scared.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. But we're just getting along. He seems like a cool guy. And then we build this cool guy relationship over the course of 8 years. And then.
Do you ever open up to him about your stepfather beating you and let him know that, like, his fucking kid was getting his ass beat and shit?
You know what? That's interesting you bring that up, because I wrote him a letter when I decided to discontinue the relationship
With your biological father?
With my biological dad.
This went quick, huh?
This was 8 years.
Longer in college.
Well, technically.
Technically, 1 year longer than your college.
College was 7. My dad's relationship was 8. Yeah, so I beat it.
Way to go, man. I appreciate you stepping up. Put that time and effort in.
I was putting more work into my relationship with my real dad than I was college.
8 years and 1 month. Let's count the month that he spent with your mom. Let's throw that in on it. All right. Let's not cheat the man.
If I'm working too hard at this relationship with my dad than I was at anything, I'm like, I'm putting the work in here.
All right. So you're building this relationship with your dad, and you write your father a letter about the abuse from your stepfather.
And I was like, talked about the real. I don't know why you left my mom or what happened. I don't know anything. We still haven't talked about this.
How many years into your connection is this at this point? You finally get brave enough to ask.
I'm at the 7.5 year point.
Whoa! And I decided, you waited this long to ask any questions? You just kept it like surface for 7.5 years.
Superficial, because I found out I had 2 half sisters, a grandma.
And did you get to meet all them? Yeah. And were they all loving and welcoming?
Very well. The grandma was.
Did they tell you right away? I bet it's your son's baby.
Yeah.
I mean, if my daughter, I couldn't imagine not knowing my daughter's baby. That would suck. What did he do for a living?
He with all due respect to this gentleman, he had a lot of sketchy information going on. He seemed like he had some money coming in. I don't know. He's a talent. Like, there's something going on.
I'm sitting on like 20 million of Korean currency. If it just could budge here, man, I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
He always had some vague explanation of what he had himself doing, but he was doing all right. And I didn't question him. Like, I didn't question anything.
You probably enjoyed having extended family and everything around. You'd never had it before.
Never had it. I had a grandma who loved me unconditionally from out of nowhere.
And instantly.
Instantly.
It's her fucking, her baby's baby.
My sister's half-sisters were skeptical. Like, who the fuck is this guy? He's moving in on my inheritance.
That's high-pitched jab, man.
Is that the guy with no hair?
This is the motherfucker from Channel 16 right here.
I heard about this motherfucker.
Yeah, we got Time Warner here. That's how we know.
So, like, you know, and I write him a letter. I'm just like, you know, listen, all due respect, I respect you. I think you're a great guy, but I don't feel this father-son connection. You just seem like a guy I know. I have a lot of questions, no answers. I want you to wish you the best. I got to move on with my life because I'm putting all the effort in this relationship.
So you asked and got no response, and then your letter was, hey, I'm out?
He did respond going, I had no idea you felt this way, but is there anything I can do? I just ignored it because I just wanted to move on because I felt uncomfortable. I was in a weird spot in my life.
Is he still alive or is he dead?
I think he's alive. I would have heard if he was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you maintain relationships with your grandmom and everybody else?
Or my
you just
grandma
cut it all
tried
off?
To make me I'm and sure. the dad work hardcore, and I cut it off, and she quit talking to me, which breaks my heart because I love her. I love her to death. If this audio ever gets out there, I love her to death. I was confused. I didn't know what to do. You know, my mom wasn't really supportive, and I don't know the situation between the two of them.
And the only person who can give you any truthful answers is your father, and then.
Either one of them.
He said, though, let me, what I can do for you. You never want to just send it?
I might reach out.
Did he respond to the letter about the abuse and everything?
He did.
What did he say?
I had no idea. I don't know any of this situation. I feel horrible if there's anything. He was very respectful.
It was just that to everything.
Yes. But with all due respect to him, he was very respectful.
It was a general studies. It was a straight up general. Let me blanket everything. I got 7 years under my belt, too.
As soon as I read that general-ass letter, I was like, that's why I became a general studies major. It's in my family. So my mom... You know, and it was always
So that's what I want to ask you. During this 7.5, 8 year connection with your father, did you tell your mom this was going on? And if so, how did she react to that?
I told her about 3 years into the relationship.
3 years,
because I was scared. I didn't know what the situation was, and she was somewhat supportive and like, okay,
somewhat in a way, like what, like be careful, or
be careful. But you need to know, I'm cool with it. I still don't know the story to this day. What actually happened between the two of them, mm-hmm. like. I only can bring up my own information of like they were such fireballs of personality that they clashed and they hated each other. That's all it was. That's all I can come up with. I don't know what happened, but it was a tough situation to deal with, and I don't know. So that just kind of happened, and you know.
And then after it was, how long has it been since you disconnected from your father?
It's been about 8 years.
And during this 8 years, which is the length of what you had, if you wanted to go back or reach out?
I'm curious because my mom passed, if I can jump forward a little bit.
Sure.
About a year and a half ago, she battled a 3-year battle of cancer and died. And it was brutal. But I was able to.
Were you with her?
That's where it sucks, Ryan. Like, I was there. I didn't believe she was dying. She had all these, she had all these false scares.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
But we were able to put everything to rest, all the problems. And then I got the information, and my aunt told me, listen, you might want to go see your mom. And I had a weekend at Zany's in Chicago. I'm like, I'll come back and see her. And I was driving home, and I got the phone call. She died.
Oh.
Brutal. And so I had a 7.5-hour drive of just thinking about everything. It was just brutal.
7 hours alone with yourself thinking about
and
that.
You got songs coming on.
Oh,
you know, you got, my God. It was the most brutal drive of my life. The loneliest drive I ever had. And I let a lot of regret set in that I wasn't there for her. And that whole year I battled up and down. I struggled. And this is actually going to tie in a nice bow to where we are today. So January 10th was her anniversary, and I was drinking like a fucking fish.
Anniversary of how many years?
Her death, 1-year anniversary.
Only one? Yeah. She's only been gone for a year.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. So,
and my first birthday was December 27th without her, and I remember Nate Bargatze, comedian, he came into town. He goes, will you feature me for me at Hilarities, my home club? And I was home. I go, yeah, absolutely. And I was drunk all weekend. I was just drinking. But I wasn't drinking to celebrate my birthday. I was drinking because of the pain. And that was getting out of control. And when I get drunk, I get stupid. Like, I start shoplifting. Sex without a condom. You name it. I'm just,
I've done that sober. I ain't gonna lie. Yeah. I don't feel so bad about you.
So January 1st, I'm drunk. It's New Year's Day. And I'm at a liquor store. And I just steal a bottle of Tito's. I stole it. It was like,
how? What's your method?
I just put it down my pants.
Right in the middle of the store?
Yeah.
All the cameras.
Yeah.
You went in wasted.
I went in wasted. I was like, I want to keep this party going. I've been drinking since last night. And I put the bottle in my pants and I leave. And I already planned on moving to LA.
I got to ask you this. So, because I've never stolen anything like that. I had a friend of mine that used to have, he had the best method back in the day for cigarettes before they were behind the counter. We're out over on the other side, and he would go up, and whatever he was going to steal, it was always something you could hold in one hand, and he would grab two, and then he'd walk around the store for a little bit, and he'd go, I'm not going to get these, and he'd put one back, and then he would buy something legit.
Okay.
So it looked like that they never knew he picked up two, so it looked like whatever he picked up, he put back, but he only put back one. So he would then buy like a bag of Cheetos, and then he'd steal the cigarettes.
That's a good method.
It's a great method. It worked every time I was with him. I watched it. But I had another friend that tried to steal condoms, and we got caught in CVS, dude. That was humiliating because I didn't know he was doing that. We were in a different row.
I think condoms are the number one thing stole.
I'll bet. And I also read Preparation H.
I believe that,
too. People humiliated to buy it.
Embarrassing shit.
But he got busted, and they called the security and walked us out. My dad thought it was hilarious because he's just like, you know.
Yeah, you got to pay a fine and move on.
Yeah, and they're like, you can never come back. And
you're
like,
banned from the store.
Okay, okay.
You know, I think they put you on a list.
The mall's gone, by the way, now. I think we were on a list. But I would have always been like paranoid that if I put that down my pants and I walked out, I would just, the whole time I'm walking to the car, I would be waiting to be tackled from behind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'd be scared they're going to be like, we got you, motherfucker. I just never had the balls to do it.
Well, that's the whole thing. I only do it when I'm drunk. I steal when I'm drunk. Like, I can't do it
sober. That's
like
a thing you do when you're drunk?
So when I'm not drinking, it's like my superpower is gone. Like, I can't fucking do it.
You think,
like,
you're invisible?
But when you're drunk, I'm like, fuck it.
What's the biggest thing you ever stole?
I stole a Ninja blender.
Yeah, we're gonna come back to that. So you steal Tito's, do you get away with it?
No.
I'm saying that's
this is January
so many
1st,
cameras these days
2019.
This is this year,
by the way. So I'm being
New Year's Day, you're telling me, right,
dude,
now.
Dude, this is the fucking dude, I'm this podcast is about honesty, right?
It sure is.
Okay, cool. So I'm drunk, I steal this. I did get away with it at the time. And then probably about 10, 11 days later, the liquor store puts the video on their Facebook.
So you got away with it? Nuh-uh.
And I'm getting phone calls, text, emails from everybody going,
it's high pitch Jack. It's the motherfucker in the water. The guy from Channel 16 stealing Tito's, man.
That's some shit that'll go viral more than anything you've ever done.
And I know at this point, yeah, I've done some shit in my life. I wrote for the William Shatner roast. I wrote for Nikki Glaser. I've been on TV. It's like, dude, I'm in my 40s. Grow the fuck up, but I'm drunk. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I see this video. And I don't know what to do. I'm like stunned, and it's back home.
Now, how do you see it?
Everyone knows me back home.
Oh, so they're sharing it with you? Or like,
everybody, because I was on the radio back home. Like, I'm like known. So they're sharing the video, and I'm like, I'm done. It's over. And I got a buddy who's a dear friend of mine who's an author. Like, he goes, I'm going to take care of this. He goes, takes care of it. They take the video down. Thank God.
Oh, he went to the liquor store?
Yeah, and there's a morning show in Cleveland. It's like that hack radio of all fucking, you know, we've all done that.
Yes.
Everything. It's like the Howard Stern. They play the video of me and they're like making fun of me and I'm getting bombarded. And it was almost like a weird.
This is how your year started.
This is how my year started. And I'm already like fucking brand new year. I'm dealing with my mom's death.
I'm so sorry. The anniversary of your mom's death.
That's because I was fucking going haywire. I didn't know how to deal with it. And I'm like, it made my life much worse.
Usually does.
I'm like, what the fuck, man? The only cool thing I had, a silver lining, is like, I'm moving to L.A. Because 4 months prior, I talked to another dear friend of ours, Brody Stevens, we were talking on your balcony, talks me into moving to L.A. Like, you need to be put. You need to quit doing the road. Because yeah. I've been doing the road like a madman. I'm like, okay, cool. So I, you know, Brody, who, by the way, just passed, He talks me into moving out here, and that was my older silver lining. So I basically, if anything taught me, it taught me to quit looking at social media, like replies, ads,
yes,
comments.
It's
I block
so negative.
Everything. Dude, I...
Delete them, too. Delete that negative
shit. I ignored it.
Ignore it. But if you're going to look at it, just delete that shit.
But I
Who
used
cares?
To look at everything like a psychopath. Like, yeah, what are they saying about me? I go to Reddit, and I'm like, I'm done. And
Man, do not go to Reddit. We were fortunate. Look, the Crab Feast fans.
They love it.
They do. And the doers out there, they do. So I've been fortunate. But I've been on some where I've seen some things. I'm like, I see the subject. And I'm like, I'm just not going to read it. Yet.
Yeah.
I mean, try to just put it out there and hope everybody fucking loves. And I'll interact with people on social media, too. I'll interact with the fans that create. They've created their own groups and things like that. Those are the really good people.
Right.
So I love interacting with them. But I don't read. Like, you go, don't even look at YouTube comments. Oh, oh man.
Dude, I just want to.
I wonder how Paul McCartney deals with that shit, man. We should give him a
or John Lennon.
You probably, after you get a, you know, a fucking viral video, you steal some Tito's. I got to call Paul McCartney, see how he deals with this kind of publicity.
So, if anything, it was like almost a scared straight intervention. Like, I got to get my life together, dude. Like, what the fuck am I doing? It was a slap in the face I needed.
It's January, by the way.
January. And luckily, I've always had that guy in my corner who believes in me. And I never had a father figure or a dad or a big brother, but I've had Jim Florentine and Sam Tripoli who have been
both great.
Dude, I can't even they like me unconditionally and they just go to bat no matter what. And they pull me out of these I go down these dark tunnels. They pull me out every time, set me straight. And, you know, I like to say I'm in a good place right now. You know, Brody passing hurts, but that was a tough period in my life. But I feel like I've come out better. And I don't look at that shit anymore, thank God. So I'm in L.A. starting a new chapter, and that's why I'm here looking at Ryan Sickler right now.
Good for you, dude.
Yeah.
Do you – I wanted to ask you something about your mom.
Sure.
Do you have any family left that you're in touch with from her side? Or even there's no one from your dad's side that keeps in touch at all?
I have a – no.
Cousins, aunts, any great anything?
My dad's brother's wife keeps in touch, Nancy.
Really?
Yeah. She's a good person.
Yeah, she's an aunt.
She's an aunt, and she knows what's going on.
Is your grandmom still alive, your dad's mom? Is that maybe why you haven't heard?
She's still alive. I would have heard.
Do you think that if you reached out tomorrow to her, she would probably pounce on that?
I reached out 2 years ago, and she kind of blocked it off.
Really?
I think she's all about family and the fact that I put her... turn my back to my dad. That's old school Italian.
It's old school Italian, but how about your dad turning your back to his back to the family?
Yeah,
you
man.
Know what I mean, like father, like son. I mean, nah, what the fuck you expect?
It's a weird situation, and I don't wish any ill will on them. It's not a clean. If anybody can listen to this episode and what I'm doing right now, there's not. No matter what, life's not perfect. Nobody knows the. It's not black and white. It's so gray, and you don't know what the right way to do things is or why people do the things they do. And I have no ill will. I wish it could be better, but, you know, this is what it is, dude. So I hope I didn't bum you out.
I'm not bummed out at all. I'm really enjoying this. I do want to hear about the Ninja Blender, though.
Fuck yeah, dog.
I want to hear a few. Have you ever been arrested?
Oh, yeah.
Did you tell that on the Cry Feast?
Yeah, I told you. Yeah, I got charged with DUIs.
That's right. The Hall and Oates.
Yeah,
and all
breaking enteries.
Breaking enteries.
I was a degenerate, dude. Like, I think I would act out, and it was all because of booze. Every time I'm drunk, I act out. I like to get reckless. Like, it's just fun, and maybe my way of, like, asking for help. I don't know. I break out and do stupid shit. But, yeah, the Ninja Blender was 2014. Like,
I love how recent these are.
I know. It wasn't like a kid, a young boy growing up trying to figure himself right. out. It's like, you know, late 30s, early 40s, man.
They got me on the George Foreman grill, man. That's what you're going to say.
Everyone my age has families and mortgages and children. I'm like, let's steal a Ninja Blender and see what happens.
Did you do this as a solo mission? What'd you do?
Oh, first of all, yeah, I didn't go to Kohl's with the intent of stealing a Ninja Blender.
You're shit-faced in Kohl's? How's that happen? Where are you drinking?
I was drinking all day. It was a 24-7.
At home?
Because I quit drinking for a year and a half because I was like on probation from a DUI charge and a friend helped me get sober. But I thought I could handle it. I'm like, you know what? I'm cool. I can have a couple beers. Nah. And then
I've learned that, though. I learned that from sitting next to people in the Crab Feast. Like, they're like, can you? I'm like, I could have half a beer and walk away from it. That's me.
Yeah.
And we've had people sit next to us and say, if I have one, I'm going to have 20. And that's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah. Well, I could start off having one or two, then maybe three or four, if everything's good. But when shit gets bad, it goes 20, 30 quickly. It gets weird. And that's what happened. Like, all of a sudden, I'm drinking like a fucking fish. I'm out of control. I was at a party. I just had sex with a girl. Shout out to whoever that was, if you're listening. Respect. And I'm like, Kohl's. I don't even know how I got there, Ryan. I feel like I was beamed down from I'm in Kohl's drunk, and I'm walking around Kohl's forever. Everyone's watching me because I'm drunk, and I see a Ninja Blender. I'm like, I need that shit, and I steal it. I walk out, and I'm walking out slow. I feel this is how drunk I am. I feel like the slower I walk out, the more stealth I am. Meanwhile, everyone's watching me. I take two steps out. You've been stopped by Kohl's security?
This is why I don't steal.
Yeah.
I got anxiety listening to this. I'm waiting for them to tackle
it. They're like SEAL Team 6. They surround me.
How many of them?
There's like three or four. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? And they take me back in the office. One dude knows me from the radio. He feels bad. He thinks I'm down on my luck, and which I am.
And every time you fuck up, does the radio blast it just to clown you?
Oh, dude, it's brutal. It's like TMZ in Cleveland. It's I'm like the fucking Andy Dick of Cleveland at this point. Yeah. And it's like, what do you do? It's just like,
what happens? You gotta have, that's a big box, man. You
but they treat me like it? I'm where, Tom wait, Brokaw. I'm a fucking idiot.
Where are you holding the box? That's a big ass
box. I just walk out.
You just holding it in your hand?
In my drunk mind, sure. I feel like it's fine.
But is everything going brr, 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 or they don't even need that because they're just right? They're like watching next me. To you.
No yeah. sensors.
How many guys?
Three or four. And I go back in the room.
Are they in like security uniforms or are they plain clothes?
Plain clothes. Oh, security, man. Cole's got their shit. Respect the Coles. You guys got your shit together, man. You know how.
No disrespect to Coles, but Coles, you were pretty easy fucking find right there.
I was an easy find, but they know how to police that fucking place.
This guy just threw up in the ninja blender over here. Let's watch him, man. He's taking it. He's taking it.
I'm walking around for like an hour and Cole's drunk. I think I was at the Buffalo Wild Wings, and I just walked over, and I just said, all right. So so the next day, I go to court, and I swear to God.
Wait, do you get arrested?
Oh, yeah. They arrested. Yeah.
They really took you.
Coles brings the thunder, dog.
So they call the cops, yeah. And what happens? They cuff you and take you away.
They took me to Fairview Police Department. Fingerprints. Mugshots. And I'm looking at your.
I got my ninja blender.
I'm
right
looking
over
at your blender in your kitchen right now, and it'll be here when I leave. I promise.
You're now in jail because you tried.
Well,
to
I never
steal
went to jail. They just booked me.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a buddy come bail me out.
What? You just sat on the bench until somebody came.
Yeah, and then I was gone.
And didn't put you in it, but they cuffed you and put you in a cop car and drove you.
And I'm thinking, I'm like, I stole a. This is all from a blender, dude.
A blender.
By the way, the payoff of this is going to be beautiful. So I go to court like 2 or 3 days later.
That quick?
Yeah, they had a judge.
They don't fuck around.
Shout out Kevin Spelsey, great lawyer in Cleveland, Ohio. And I go to court, and the judge knows who I am. He's a fan of mine.
Oh, my God.
Ah, that's awful.
He's a fucking fan.
That's awful.
And he sees me, and he's laughing. And in front of, like, there's people everywhere. And I walk up there, and there's like a local news beat reporter, because at this point, people still kind of know me. I'm like, oh, here we go. And he's like, Mr. Zumach, I would like to know why you tried to steal a ninja blender for Colts. And I swear to God, Ryan, I go, Your Honor, I was hammered.
It's got three speeds.
It's got three speeds. It's a great blender. If you watch the info,
you see what it does to ice.
But I told him, I go, I was so drunk, I honestly think I thought I was a ninja at the time. And the whole room laughed. And he gave me community service.
How
and
much?
Expunged. I don't remember what the court cost was. But
no, how much community service? What did he make you do?
It was like 24 hours of, like, I had to go to, like, a food place.
That's 3 days of 8-hour work.
Yeah.
You helped at a soup kitchen?
Yeah, and that was fine.
That's
nice. I'll do the soup kitchen.
That's
and,
good for you.
And it was fine. But this is the best part of the whole story. The next day, I came downstairs after that all happened. I looked on my kitchen counter. I already owned a Ninja Blender. I already owned a fucking Ninja Blender. I was so drunk thinking I needed a blender. I also owned a NutriBullet, for the record. So, this is my problem with booze and depression.
I mean, you say you only do this on booze. So what's the worst drinking night you've had?
Man, I've had a couple. I mean, that one was pretty bad. That was a bender. I was going through a tough one. You know, I've had arguments with girlfriends.
And what do you drink? When you get like that, is it liquor?
Dude, I'm not even a drugs guy. Like, I'm a booze dude. Like, I was a late bloomer into the game. I didn't start drinking until I was 23.
Puberty, drinking, all that
everything.
Shit. Everything. They coming late on all of them.
But when I come in hard.
Come hard, bro.
Let's bring it. Let's bring the thunder.
I got some catching up to do.
It's catching up. It's too much catching up. And then, no, I just started boozing, and I get crazy. I mean, I stole the bottle of the Tito's. I stole gloves before. I stole a pair of Oakleys. Stealing.
I want to know, what's your worst night just drinking in general?
Well, I think the night I got the DUI charge in 2012, because it was like I was in a sponsored vehicle. I lost my radio gig from it. And they blamed it on that, even though the car company was in my corner. But the host I was working with, he wanted me gone. We had a really powerful show. The radio show in 2012 was huge in Cleveland. We were like the ONA shit. Like, but when you get those relationships, that's why I always respected you and Jay. It's like you always became friends, no matter how.
Crafty's went as long as you were in college, bro.
Dude, as long as you guys were together, I still see each other. You hug.
Oh, yeah.
Me and the other like,
we
guy.
Carpooled to Brody's memorial the other night. And Jay even texted me yesterday, and he said, he's like, it's really nice that, you know, he just said some really nice things about respecting me as a comedian, not just a person, and he really liked that people saw us together there, and yeah, I guess it made him feel
I always
good.
Wanted that
I
brotherhood.
The same. It made me feel good.
Like with the teammate, I wanted that brotherhood, I never could get it, like with my buddy Mike in college, or the guy I worked with, Alan, like I couldn't get a brotherhood going, and it was always competitive, like he's doing better than me, I'm doing, I always wanted the team to, I was like a point guard in high school, I wanted the team to do well. I pass, you score. I don't give a fuck. Let's win the game. So when I got that DUI charge and I lost my gig, and then, by the way, when I started that gig, two people wanted the radio job. It was me and a comedian named Ryan Dalton from Los Angeles. Great comic. When I left, every comic in the fucking world wanted it.
Really?
It was like a line out the door from Reverend Bob Levy from the Howard Stern show down to every Cleveland comic. It was a juggernaut. And you can... Anybody can dispute me on this shit? That was a fucking fact. So that was the hardest DUI drinking situation I've ever dealt with. So maybe this podcast might be the rough one.
I think you've been great, man.
Dude, I spewed shit.
You did. How do you feel?
I came in here like almost therapy. Like I'm like, I listened to a couple episodes. I'm like, I'm just going to talk freely about my life and see what happens.
It's a weird time in comedy right now, especially here in LA with Brody. And you know, I just did an episode with Jamie and we talked a little bit. You just can't not right now. So I know some people just want to talk and feel good, but this has been really good, dude. I'm glad you came and did this, and I knew you would find the humor in that darkness, so I appreciate that.
Well, I'm a big, like, I'm not trying to ball wash right now, and I know you don't, like, I'm a fan of yours. I think you're a fucking great, talented son of a bitch. It's not even a thing. Like, I was a fan of your crab feast, and you know that. I don't have to tell you that.
Thank you.
So, I followed your career, and I know you're doing great things right now. I couldn't be happier. And so, for me to do this, I'm like, fuck yeah. Can I do this? Please? Yes, I'm in. And you have so many. Your fans are loyal.
Oh man, my fans are the best. They are so fucking loyal and intelligent and funny. That's the other thing. Funny.
Yeah,
it's my favorite thing about them is how funny they are.
And you do these podcasts from time to time. You pick somebody up here and there, but my one episode, I got a lot of fans from that shit. So I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm coming to the Honeydew.
Well, thank you for coming on, and let them know again. I'll plug whatever you want.
Again, just you can follow me on Instagram. I got my website and all that shit. It's Chad Zumach. I'm sure it'll be in the description. But I got my album, White Guy Named Chad. Create a album or a Spotify thing.
Spotify channel.
Yeah, and do it with
it
your
really
album.
Helps, yeah.
Your album's great.
Thank you.
Name again?
Get a hold of yourself.
Get a hold of yourself. Fucking make two channels, Ryan Sickler. And I want to be on the same channel. Can I be on the same channel?
I don't know if you can do that. I don't think so. You just make a channel for each artist in there.
Do you add like people on there?
The way it works is you'll make a Ryan Sickler channel, and then they'll say, here's a track, and then here are other comedians you'll probably like in there, and then it'll rotate you in and out of them, too.
Who would you like to be on your channel?
Oh, man.
You don't have to respect me right now.
Oh,
Tom Segura, obviously.
I'll tell you who I usually get paired with. Tom, of course. Bert, I get paired with. I get paired with most of the storyteller comedians is who I normally get paired with.
But you got to laugh. You tell stories, but you got laugh per minutes in your jokes. It's boop, boop, boop. You got jokes.
I try. Shit. I try. That's the art of.
I watched you at the Sycamore the other night. You got laughs.
Man, that was a fun show.
You had a good time.
It's a good time.
Yeah. But yeah. Add me on that shit and fucking, you know, follow Sickler and stuff.
Yeah. Thank you. Five stars.
You still got five stars?
Oh, yeah, man. Come on.
And it's a Wednesday now.
It's a Wednesday. For now, it's about to switch to a Monday.
It's about to a Monday.
Yeah. I am Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. Talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.